Okay, today's daf is daf Nun Beis. Nun Beis in the Maseches Ksubis. We are on Nun Aleph and Beis on the second to last line. So we are in the context of discussing the obligations that the husband has to the wife, the Tznai Ksuba. So the Mishnah yesterday on Amar Aleph and Aleph and Aleph quoted the Chiyuv of Pirkona, the Chiyuv to redeem one's wife if she gets captured. Just one hosafa on that discussion, and then we will continue. So we mentioned that the language of the Mishnah was laksa. So laksa chayav pirkona. If she, not only pidyon the Mishnah discussed, but also if she gets sick. So the language was laksa, if she gets sick, so then chayav l'raposa. We mentioned the Ra'ah and the Ritva that say, why laksa, not chalsa? Because laksa means that somehow she got sick, you know, she was afflicted. But if she did something herself, bib she usa, so then she wouldn't, thank you, then she wouldn't, the husband would not have the obligation to redeem her because it was her own fault. So the Beis Yaakov, the Nesivus, and that Simon, Simon Ayin Tess and Shulchan Aruch, says, nearly, he quotes this Ritva, that only if it was Ba'ones, but if it was her fault, it's that he does not have to redeem. He's venerally duad nishbeis ayde pshia. What if she gets captured because of her own fault? Kagon sheganva, let's say she stole something and they're trying to get her back. Also, ein chayav leftosa, upashut. So he says it doesn't matter the chole and the shvuya, whether it's her fault in either case. In both cases, he would not have to redeem her. That's what the Beis Yaakov said. Other achronim do not agree. The Beis Meir says no. Shiny chalsa. If it's her fault, then you don't have to redeem. But by shvuya, even if it's her fault, then we're still worried that she's going to get mixed up amongst the Gayim, amongst the Shvut. You're going to leave her there. You know, her Ruchnius is at stake. So therefore, even if it's her fault, the Beis Meir says, we would still have to redeem her. And the Pischei Tshuva, in that Simon, Simon Ayin Ches, in Shulchan Aruch, quotes the opposite Shita. And we're going to have three Shitas. The opposite Shita, that even if you want to say, by her fault, if she gets sick, and you argue with Ritva that he would be chayiv to redeem her, but by shvuya he would not. Why? Because maybe shvuya she might do it herself in order to force the husband to redeem her. Maybe she did it on purpose for various reasons. So three different shitas. Whether the Beis Yaakov says there's no difference, if it's her fault, there's no difference between getting sick and getting captured, the husband does not have to redeem. And then the machlokas between the Beis Meir and the Pischei Tshuva quotes other achronim, I think it's the Mil Tzedakah, that you'd be mechalik between shvuya and chalsa. Okay, so now we go to the two dots on the second to last line on Aleph and Mabez. Most of today's action will be on Nubez and Mabez, so Nubez and Aleph will kind of go straight through. Okay, says the Gemara. So if you remember, the Mishnah said that the Tanai Ksuba says by a wife of a Kohen, wife of Yisrael, he promises to bring her back to her home, right? Into the language of the Tanai Ksuba, Ozvinach le'intu, you'll be my wife. We had the beautiful deek of the Ar Sameach and the Rambam yesterday. That means you have to live together for a little bit. Even if you want to divorce her, you have to act like husband and wife. But by a Kohenes, because she was a Chashash Ne'ensa, that he can't return her for his wife. So the Ksuba says, I will return you to your Medina, meaning I'll redeem you, and you'll go back to your Medina. So the Gemara starts off with the Machlokas Amoram. Amar Abaya, Alman of the Kohen Gadol. What happened if you have marriage be'isser? Alman of the Kohen Gadol. So are the... Does this Tanai Ksuba apply of redeeming? I mean, they're living in sin, but let's say then she gets, but the marriage is chal, right? We know the marriage is chal. It's not chayvi krisus, it's chayvi lavin. So the question is, or even an asay l'kohen gadol, an isra asay. So chayv l'vtosa, so says Abaya, he still has to redeem her. Rashi gives background here. He reminds us of a Gemara in Yevamos that we had. What Gemara in Yevamos? The Gemara in Yevamos tells us that if you have a marriage in sin, you have a mother of the Kohen Gadol, you have other Chayvi Lavin, then do the Tanai Ksuba apply? The Tanai Ksuba in a marriage be'isser? So it depends which ones. The ones that have to do with getting divorced, ending the marriage, so those apply. L'meifak, right? The ones that are L'meifak, Rashi says, L'mishkal L'meifak, like her getting the Ksuba, that applies. Aman of the Kohen Gadol, he'll have to pay her the ksuba upon divorce, because that's the Tanai Ksuba that has to do with getting divorced. But any Tanai that has to do with staying married, like Mizonos, so that does not apply, because we don't want them to stay married. That's what the Gemara said in Maseches Yevamos, which Rashi quotes. So what about Pirkuna? What about getting redeemed? So is that about something that, is that about staying married, or is that about staying, getting divorced? So we're going to talk about that in a minute. So the Gemara says, Abaya holds that Aman of the Kohen Gadol, he would have to redeem her. Why? Shani kore bavo ukohenes adrin yechlo medinaseh. Because forget the issue. Oh, this is how Rashi learns the Gemara. Forget the issue of whether it's a tznaik suba of staying married or getting divorced, but the words of the tznaik suba could still be true. Because what is this man going to do by a manalek kohen gadol? Even if it was a marriage not in sin, he's a kohen. He wouldn't be able to live with her again. He'd have to return her to her medina. So even by a kohen bekashrus vahadrinech lemedinasech, the ksuba says, I'm not going to marry you again. I'm going to return you to your medina. So here too says Abaye, he could do that. He could redeem her and return her to her medina. It's exactly what he would have to do if it was a kosher marriage. So what if it's a marriage in sin? Still, the tnai ksuba could still ring true. But, says Abaya, mamzeres v'nesina li Yisrael, but if you have, for example, a chai v'lavin by mamzeres v'nesina, where he is not allowed to marry her back, if it was a kosher marriage, what does the ksuba say? I'll take you back from my wife. That he can't do here. So that's why it says, Abaya eino chayev lefdosa. That he does not have the chiyuv to redeem her. She'inani koreba bosvina chlela into. Because the words of the ksuba would not be true in this case. In a kosher marriage by Yisrael, he would have to redeem her because he has to take her back for his wife. But here, he wouldn't have to redeem her because these words would not be true. Rabbi Kivager just leaves a Bitzarachian. I just explained that, like Rashi says, he says, why do you even need the reason? Why does the Gemara give the reason of whether the words of the ksuba can be true or not? This is a tanai ksuba that has to do with while they're married. And if it's a tanai ksuba of while they're married, so then the tzadam that we just mentioned, the Gemara Nivama says, those don't apply at all. Right? It's only the tanaim that have to do with getting divorced, like paying the ksuba. Pirkuna is something that has to do with while they're married. So he just leaves that just to give an answer. It leaves it really Bisarachian. But that is Shitas Abaya. It all depends whether the words of the Ksuba could still be true. So by an Amana L'Kohen Gadol, they can be true. Because even if he was married a Kohen Bikashrus, Beheter, he wouldn't be able to marry her again. But by an Eishes Yisrael, the words would be Vosvina Chayla Intu, and here it would not be true. So therefore, he would not have a Chayav to redeem her.
Can we say that everyone implies
Well, yeah. I mean, all these gemaras are. Does the husband have an obligation? Because we'd rather not take from the public pot. Once we say we want him to pay. But if he doesn't pay, then we're gonna have to pay from the public pot. Yeah, everybody has a chiv opinion shvuyim. That's what we'll talk about later. But we want to know who has the personal right. You don't put this person on the list of hostages that have to be redeemed. You know, by Klal Yisrael. This is a special relative issue. So that's Shitas Abaya. Rava Amar Rava argues, Kol she iser shviya gorim la chayav lefdosa. Iser davar acher gorim la ina chayav lefdosa. Rava says, no. When do you have a chiyuv to redeem the woman? When the only iser involved is the iser of shvuya, and there's a chashash that she was nevelous when she was a shvuya. And that's the only potential problem in this case. But says Rava, if there's any other potential problem in this case, like marriage in sin, so then there's no chiyuv to redeem. So that's Shitas Rava, that even by Amana L'Kohen Gadol, even though the words of the ksuba can be true, it doesn't matter. Rava says there's a special din, if there's an Isser Acher involved here, Eino Chayav Lefdosa. So it's a machlokas between Abaya and Rava. Next. So Lema Ketanoi. So let's say, says the Gemara, that this machlokas Amoraim, between Abaya and Rava, is also a parallel machlokas Tanoim between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Says the Braisa Hamadris Ishto. Let's say a man makes a neder that the woman is not allowed to get any benefit from him. Right, that's what a man says. It's not a good idea to do this, right? The Mishnah says later on, at the beginning of Perek Hamadir, on Daf Ayin, that this is grounds for divorce. If a man makes such a neder, so then he has to divorce his wife and pay her the ksuba. But let's say it happens. The neder is chal. Hamadris Ishto v'nishbeis. Somebody makes a neder that his wife is not allowed to get benefit from him. And then she gets captured. So what's the halacha? So if he redeems her, he's giving her benefit. So Rebbe Eliezer, Omer, Podem, and Osan Luxubasa. No, he has to redeem her. That's a Tznaik Suba. You can't get out of that. And then he'll divorce her. Nosin Luxubasa. He redeems her, and then Nosin Luxubasa. Rebbe Yeshua, Omer, the opposite. Nosin Luxubasa, Vena Pode. No, he'll throw the Ksuba. He does that. He says, you redeem yourself. He has no Chiv to redeem her. I'm Rabbi Nassan. We didn't get to the parallel case yet. I'm Rabbi Nassan. Sha'alti Sumchus K'sham Rabbi Yeshua. I ask Sumchus when Rabbi Yeshua says Nosin Luxubasa Ve'ina Poda. When Rabbi Yeshua says that he can just give her the ksuba, pay her the ksuba money, and you know she'll have to redeem herself. obviously it seems to be a case where she would be able to redeem herself in this case with her ksuba money. Not like similar to yesterday when we had that the Ravid says the only way he'll get out of the chola is if she's not lying in bed and she can take care of herself a little bit. So l'chor, the same thing would apply here. Rabbi Yeshua only says this if it's shayach that she can redeem herself. So Rabbi Nassan asks, when Rabbi Yeshua says that she has to redeem herself, he could give her the ksuba and redeem herself, kishihidira ulubasof nishbeis, is that only when he made the neder and then all of a sudden, oyvei, she was captured? Oh, but nishbeis ulubasof edira, does it even apply where she was captured and then all of a sudden he makes a neder that he can't get, she can't get benefit from him? So Vamarli lo shamati. So Subcha says, I didn't hear anything about it, but I mean I don't have a besorah about this, but v'nirin advarim, but it appears to me shehidira ulubasof nishbeis. It appears to me that it's only in a case of hidira ulubasof nishbeis, where he made the neder and then she was captured. Why? The amet nishbeis ulubasof hidira. If she was first captured, it's also like rume. It looks funny, right? It's harama. She gets captured, and all of a sudden, oh, he makes a neder. As if he's saying that he's not interested in redeeming her. So, look, why do you make the nether now? So that's why, says Sumchis, I don't think that Rabbi Yeshua would say it in both cases, only if the nether happened first. So we'll get back to that lashon in a minute. First, let's finish. My love, so what exactly is the case here where there's a machlokas? Again, a man makes a nether, my wife cannot get benefit from me, she gets captured, machlokas, whether he has to redeem her or not. So, my love, madir eshes kohen kabiflagi, aren't they arguing about a case of an Ashes Kohen? Why? Rashi says, by an Ashes Yisrael, wouldn't everybody agree that he does not have to redeem her? Because by an Ashes Yisrael, he can't stay married to her. So the words of the Ksuba, I'll take you back for my wife, that's for sure not true. So everybody would agree, says Rashi, that by an Ashes Kohen, he would not have to redeem her. So what's the case that they're arguing about? It must be by an Ashes Kohen. And the machlokas is, like our machlokas, we have Abaye, Tomer Krib Eliezer, Abaye, who said earlier that as long as the words can be true in the ksuba, so then the chiyuv exists, so he was like Krib Eliezer, who are Krib Eliezer here, says he has a chiyuv to redeem her. But Varava, who said earlier that any time any other isser is involved, he does not have a chiyuv to redeem her, Tomer Krib Yeshua, he says like Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says here that because there's another isser involved of neder, so therefore he does not have to redeem her. So that's option number one. So this machlokas amoraim is really this machlokas tanoim. Option number one, and the Gemara is about to reject this. But first, just one thought on the language of Sumchas. What did Sumchas say? I don't have any mesora about this, but I think nirin hadvarim, it appears to me as follows. This relates to an idea that we've touched on in the past. That is, Rav Soloveitchik spoke in a number of contexts that certain ba'alei ha-mesora, even if they don't know something specifically from a text, they have a certain halachic intuition. That they know what the Torah is going to say in a certain case, even if they don't have it. He said this in the hesped that he gave for his uncle, the Brisker Rav, the Griz, where he writes, the Chazal say, Torah sivalana Moshe ma'orasa kilas Yaakov. Al tikri ma'orasa ela ma'orasa. What's ma'orasa? Erisin. So the Chazal say that all Jews have Erisin to the Torah. Who should have Erisin to the Torah? So Rav Soloveitchik said, certain Yechidei Skula, though, not only have Erisin, but they have Nisuin to the Torah. What's the difference? Nisuin to the Torah means that you know many times what the spouse would want, even if they don't ask. I know my wife, when she gets home from work, she'd want a cup of coffee. I know, even without asking, I know she'd appreciate this. That's the level of Nisuin. You know, obviously, this communication is always needed. But you reach a level that even without finding the specific opinion or answer, you know that's what they're going to say. So that's Nisuin. That's what he said. Yechidei Skula have Nisuin to the Torah. Not just Erisin, what all of us have. So he quoted Rashi in Parshas Tetzaveh. Rashi in Parshas Tetzaveh is discussing the Big Day Kahuna. What have all the Big Day Kahuna look like? So we need the picture book. We look at the Rashi and look at the pictures. So by the ephod, Rashi says, I don't know what the ephod looks like. The ephod, special apron, the Kohen Gadol wore. I don't know what it looks like. I have looked at. I don't know what it looks like. But then Rashi says, V'libi Omerli, my heart tells me. And then there's a 25 line Rashi what the ephod looks like. So what does that mean? He doesn't know, but he knows. The answer is he didn't find any text, but Rashi has a halachic intuition. V'libi omerli, that this is what the ephod looks like. So that's what certain poskim have, and there are no other examples as well. But here's another one. What does Simcha say? Lo shamati, but the nirin advarim. But I think the following. It's like Rashi's libi omerli, but nirin advarim. I think this would be the halacha. Okay, there are other examples, but let's continue now. So the Gemara says, isn't this machlokas amaroim about whether the between Abaye and Rava? Isn't this a parallel to the machlokas tanoim between whether when a man makes a neder that his wife should not get benefit and she gets captured, whether he has a chiyuv to redeem her or not? Isn't that a machlokas tanoim? So the Gemara answers no. Lo, hacha vayaskinan. No, there's a different case here where you don't have to say it's a machlokas tanoim. Who go to nadra ihi v'kiyem la. You know what the case is here? She made the neder. She makes a neder that I'm not allowed to get benefit from you, and the husband says, good job. He's Mekayi in the nether. We know from Parshas Nedarim, the husband has the ability to be made for her Nedarim, to undermine her Nedarim and torpedo them, but they're not powerful, that they're not effective. And here he did it. She made the nether, and he was Mekayi in it. So how do you look at that? Rabbi Eliezer, so Bezrem, next Masechta, after Ksubis is Nedarim. All about Masechta, all about Nedarim. So Rabbi Eliezer, Savar, who knows, saying Esba Ben Shineha. Rabbi Yeshua, Savar, he knows, Esba Ben Shineha. This is a limited machlokes in a case in. And how do we look at a neder that she makes and he is Mekayim? Whose fault is that? So Rabbi Eliezer says, he stuck his finger between her teeth, meaning this is his fault. It's his fault that he wasn't made for the neder, so therefore he still has an obligation to redeem her. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, it's her fault. She stuck her finger between his teeth, meaning, what'd she make the neder for? So what, he was Mekayim it. But the real neder, she made, and therefore it's her fault. So she got herself into problems, so therefore he does not have a chiyuv to redeem her. So that's option two. Option one was, it's a machlokas tanoim, parallel. Option two is, no, it's not a machlokas tanoim. That's parallel to the machlokas amaram. It's a specific machlokas. How do we look at this case where she makes an end there? Do we say that it's her fault or not? Says the Gemara, no, that doesn't work. Ihi nasa atzba beishi now. Two questions. If she stuck her finger in, meaning it's her fault, ksuba mai vidita. If it's her fault, according to Rabbi Yeshua, then why does she get a ksuba at all? What does he say? She gets the ksuba and she has to redeem herself. No, we know. We're going to learn later on also. I might be in Eretz Yisrael for this Mishnah, but either way, the Mishnah says later on in Pesachas Ksubas, if she undermines the marriage, then she does not get a ksuba. If he undermines a marriage, depends how halacha looks at it. You have to know, in certain cases, is he undermining the marriage or is she undermining the marriage? One of them is monea tashmish from each other. That's a case of being monea the marriage. If anything specifically about the marriage, then there's no ksuba. So here, she's undermining the marriage by making a neder that I can't get benefit from you. So why should she get a ksuba? Maya vidita. So vasu, and another question. Rabbi Nassim, that whole conversation we quoted before. Sha'alti yasumchis kramer Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Nassim says, I yasumchis, that when Rabbi Yeshua says his idea. Knows from the ksuba vein apode that he does not have a chiyuv to redeem her. He just pays her the ksuba because she dira l'msof nishpes ok b'nishpes l'msof hidira. Is that only where she made the neder and then was captured, or is it the neder was made after the capture? But amar lo shamati, and what did he reply? I don't know, but it seems like it only makes sense if he made the neder beforehand. But if we're talking about a case where she made the nether, then what difference does it make? If it's her fault, then it should be her fault whenever she made the nether. Mali hidira l'basof nishpes, mali nishpes l'basof hidira. So what difference should it make? So it can't be that she made the nether. Two kashas that we say, it can't be they can't be argued about a case where she made the nether. So we have option number three. Option number one was, it's a machlokas parallel. Option number two is, it's not a parallel machlokas, separate to discussion. Whose fault is it? Option number three, third and final option, Ela la'olam ta'adra ihu. Really, he made the neder that she should not get benefit from him. But, v'yavai, matarik sa'taymei, v'yavai matarik sa'taymei. But each of the Amoraim could still say, both Tanoim could fit in with my Shita. How? As follows. Abaya matarik sa'taymei, Abaya explains according to his Shita. Remember, what did Abaya say? Abaya was the first Shita we started off with today. Abaya says that if it's an Amana L'Kohen Gadol, he has a Chiv to redeem her. Because the words of the Ksuba still fit. I will return you to your country. But if it's a Mamzeres, L'Yisrael, then he does not have a Chiv. Because what does the Ksuba say? I will return you to be my wife. And he can't be his wife. So it says Abaya, everybody can fit it to me. Amana L'Kohen Gadol, Chulei Amalav, Ligit D'Chayav L'Vdosa. Everybody agrees that you have to redeem her because the words fit in. Mamzeres v'nesid l'Yisrael kulei amal apligit deino chayev l'vdosa. Mamzeres l'Yisrael, everybody agrees that there's no chiyuv. Aye, what's the machlokas about in the Tanoim, which everybody would agree to, Abaya would agree to, madir eishes kohen nami kulei amal apligit. And also, in the case of madir, if the husband makes the neder by an eishes kohen, still everybody agrees to chayev l'vdosa. He would have to redeem her. Why? Tainal manal kohen gadol. It's the same thing as before. There's another iser involved. But still, the words of the ksuba can fit in, says Abaya. Even by a madir eishes kohen. What did the ksuba say? I will return you to your country. That could fit in. He's not marrying her. It doesn't matter if there's another iser involved. Ki pligi, what's the only machlokas tanoim? But madir eishes Yisrael. by a case where a Eishes Yisrael, by a man, a Yisrael who's married to a woman, says, you can't have any Hanah from me. So now, if he fulfills the, if he redeems her now, the words of the Ksuba cannot fit in. But it's only they can't fit in now. Before she was captured, they could fit in. So that's the machlokas. Rebbe Eliezer, Azal Basar Meikara, Rebbe Yeshua, Azal Basar Basof. Do you go by when the Ksuba was written? By the original, the Ksuba was written B'Shas marriage, and at that point, then the Ksuba could be fulfilled. She wasn't captured yet. There's no Isser involved here. So he could return her as his wife. Mashiach King, Rebbe Yeshua says, no, you go by now. By now, the words are not true. He cannot take her back as a wife. That's what the machlokas is about. But Abaye says, all Tanoim can fit in according to me. Rabba Mitari Tatayme. Rabba also will answer, explain both Tanoim according to his own Shita. Amana the Kohen Gadol. What did Rabba say before? Rabba said, whenever there's any other Isser involved, no Chiyuv to redeem. Right? Even if the words can be true of the Ksuba. It doesn't matter. So, Rabba says, Amana the Kohen Gadol, Mamzeres Venesina Liyasurkul, Yamala Pligidina Chaylov Tosa. Both of those cases, there's no Chiyuv. Why? Because there's an Aveira involved. There's an Aveira involved. They're living in sin. Ki pligi, the machlokis is about both Madir cases. But Madir, Bain Beishas Kohen, Bain Beishas Yisrael. There's no other Aveira except by this Neder. And the machlokis is, Eliezer, Saver, Azal, Basar, Meikara, Rabbi Yeshua, Azal, Basar, Basof. And the machlokis is, whether you go by Meikara or Basof, when they were married, everything was fine and dandy, the words could fit in. When after the Shavuya takes place, the words might not be able to fit in. So that's the machlokas, whether you go Basar Meikara or Basar Sof. Fine. I'm sorry, do you go by Basar Meikara or Basar Sof in terms of another Isser being involved? Originally there was no other Isser being involved, and now there is another Isser being involved, the Neder. Two dots. Next. Nishbeis Chayav Leftosa. So the Mishnah said, if she gets captured, so the man has a chiyuv to redeem her. Tana Rabbana, Nishbeis Chayav Baila, Vachach Beis Baila. What happens if she gets captured and then the husband dies before he gets a chance to redeem her? So did the Yarshim have to redeem her? So again, Lamaisa, it would be nice for them to redeem in all these cases. We're talking about, though, conceptually, who has the chiyuv? Who's got to pay? Hikir ba'vayla Yarshim v'chayim liftosa. So says the Tana Kama, says this version, if the husband knew about it before he died, then the chiyuv kicked in. Interesting shita. The chiyuv is only when he knows about it. Once he knows about it, then the chiyuv kicks in, and then the Yarshim have to redeem also. Lo hikirba with the svar. It's a tzarach in, and Rishonim don't really discuss it. Why should his knowledge have anything to do with it? It's a tznaik suba. Tzarach in. You have to think about the svar. The Rishonim don't really discuss it.
So it creates a shibud on
so, it creates a shibud. Why should the shibud only be created when he knows about it? You're right.
What do you mean? She
was captured. The chiyuv should be automatic. It's a tznaik suba. Why should his knowledge have anything to do with it? You're right. This sheet is holding that the Shebut is only once he knows about it. But I don't know why exactly it should go by the dot. So Rishonim don't discuss it. It's going to be rejected in a minute anyway. So maybe that's why. I mean, usually we say half a mean as though have something to. So we have to figure out why. Okay. Lo hikirba b'ayla, ein yershachai loftosa. But he didn't know about it. So then the Yershim don't have to. Levi several mebet utuk yamasisa. So Levi was about to act based on this price. Amalei Rav Hachi Amar Chavibi. No, my relative said let's help utuk yamasisa. Right, the halacha is not like that brisa. Elakiha, the halacha is like this brisa. So you might think it goes in one direction; it's going to go in the other direction. The Tanya, the Tosefta says Nishvish Lachami says Baila. If she gets captured after the husband dies, Ein Hayisam and Chayin Leftosa, the Yisam don't have to redeem her. Below, oh, and not only that, Elafila Vishis Mechay Baila. Even if she gets captured during the husband's lifetime, V'Yachagach Meis Baila, and the husband dies, and Lachora, even if he knew about it. Why? Right? Because what did it say? I'm going to in the Tanaik Suba and I'll take you back for my wife. That doesn't exist here. The Yershim don't have that. So therefore, the other way the Brisa says, you would have thought that it's automatically yes, it's the opposite. It's automatically no Chiyuv. Once the husband dies, the Chiyuv Pidyon is a Chiyuv Gavra. It's not a Chiyuv that transfers to the Yarshim, and therefore, the Chiyuv would really be on Bezdin to redeem her. It wouldn't be specifically to the Yarshim. Chora, you know, Derech Eretz, if this is their mother, so then you would think that they would want to. But either way, this is the Chiyuv.
Maybe the Yarshim
is Ketanim. Maybe the Yarshim is Ketanim. Okay, that's an idea. If they're Ketanim, Bezin has to know where to take money from their estate or from the public estate.
What about a Yavam?
Does a Yavam have a Chiyuv? The Yavam gets the Ksuba, the rights to the Ksuba. But the, meaning once he's, right, Havilei Leintu. I'm not sure, to look it up. Does the Yavam, I mean, once he marries her, he can't marry her until he redeems her. Right, so you can't, unless you do Shliach, Shliach, Kabbalah, Shliach, right, you can't have Nisuin through a Shliach, though. You can only have Erison. So, I'm not sure. Tanu Rabbanan, three lines from the bottom. Here we go. Nishpe, so I'm back to Manu Asar B'Dameha. Say a woman gets captured, and the captors are asking 10 times her value. 10 times her value. So what's the halacha? So Parim Rishon Apode, the first time, if it happens once, then the husband has a chiyuv, tough luck, then it's a lot of money. Still, you have to redeem her, if you can. Mikan ve'elach, but after the first time, Ratz Apode, Ratz Eino Apode. After the first time, you don't have to. Machlokas Mishonim, you don't have to at all, or you don't have to do more than her value. But that is the, that's the Tanaka Mishita, that even 10 times her value.
Yeah? What does Gavin have to do with it? Because according to the Tzum, it says, I will refer to her as my wife. Gavin has nothing to do with it.
What does value have to do with it? So hopefully we'll see in a few minutes. Tosfos here discusses a Gemara that you might be familiar with in Maseches Gittin. Second, Tosfos here, Maskel V'Hayu. Tosfos quotes a line that we're about to have in our Gemara, and that is, Midrabanan, you're not supposed to pay more, tons of, next exorbitant amount of money for a captive. Says the Midrabanan, there's a Mishnah in Gittin. Why not? So the Mishnah in Gittin said, the Gemara in Gittin there quotes two reasons. Either because Duchka Tzibura, because it's going to be a very heavy strain on the public funds, if you're going to take $10 million out to redeem a captive. Or, the Gemara says, another reason is because if this happens once, it's going to happen again. If they see they can get $10 million, they're going to do it again. Hey, look what we got. So asks Tosfos, shouldn't our Gemara, this opinion, which says that the husband has a chiyuv to do 10 times above, doesn't that prove one of the opinions? Doesn't that prove the shita that says that the reason is because of Dukkha Tzibura? And here, you're not taking it from public funds. That's why it's allowed. Because if the reason is that they're going to try it again because they see they can get so much money, so how can this opinion allow it? They're going to try it again. So doesn't this prove that reason? That the reason that the Rabbanan made a takana that you can't redeem for an exorbitant amount is because it's a strain on public funds. Isn't that a proof? Tosfos says no. Because why? We know that the Gemara there says the principle doesn't apply to yourself. If you yourself want to spend millions of dollars to redeem yourself, you're allowed to. And ishto kagufo. Tosfos says, ishto kagufo, third to last line in Tosfos, your Maskel V'Hayu, and therefore the rules of redeeming do not apply, the regular rules for everybody of redeeming do not apply to husband and wife or to the person themselves, and therefore it's not approved to that case. What about if it's a Kohen who can't take him her back? Still he has the chiyuv. Oh, would you still say ishto kagufo? Interesting. They're still fully married. Still fully married. So, but it's still right. But it's interesting. This is an ishto kagufo application, maybe even by an anxious kohen. But that's the time. That's the first shita. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer. Shimon Gamliel says, "Ein podenes ashvuyin yosar apnei demeyem," as we just quoted, "mipnei tikkun olam." We don't redeem shvuyin more than their demeyem, more than their value. What does that mean? Let's just say Rashi. We'll say other shitas in a minute. More than how much they could be sold as a servant. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says that in Dibur Maskel Shrei Kula. More than, because of Tikkun HaOlam. But says the Gemara, let's just finish first and then we'll talk about this. HaBechdei Demeyem Podim. What is Mashmah from Shubha Gamliel? But for their value, we would be Podim. Avagav Dipur Koni Yosrach Ksubasa. Even if, let's say, their value and how much it's going to cost is worth more than her Ksuba, still, it's Mashmah that you pay that. Right, as long as it's not more than their value. Bramini alyasku astira, says the Gemara. Nishbeis by mevakshim menu adasar b'ksubasa. If she's captured and they're asking her 10 times the amount of her ksuba, pam rishonim b'podem mikan ve'elach ratz apode ratz eino podem. The first time you pay, the other time you don't have to. Rishu v'gamliel omer no. Imhayi perkona kenega ksubasa podem im laveino podem. Rishu v'gamliel says no. The maximum you pay is the amount of her ksuba. If the amount that you have to pay to redeem her is worth more than her old ksuba, you can't say it's not ksuba, is more chumer than the ksuba. Shimon Gamliel says the maximum is the amount of her ksuba. So we have a stira in Rav Shimon Gamliel. First, Rav Shimon Gamliel says you only pay her value at most. The second one says you pay her ksuba. So the Gemara answers no. Rav Shimon Gamliel trei kulei islay. Either one, whichever one is less. That's his shita. Whichever one is less, that's the most that the husband has to pay. Okay. So what does it mean, yesar k'dei demehen? So Rashi had said, you don't pay more than the value that they would be sold bashuk. The Me'iri here quotes Rashi, and he says, I know everybody says this pshat, but I give a different shot. Says the Me'iri, v'lo ke'evet animka bashuk k'moshe pirshu rabim, ela lefi inyanam ukvodam. No, based on their stature. Lefi demehen means who they are in society. That's what k'dei demehen means here, says the Me'iri. He might be alluding to a sheet in Tosfos of Maseches Gittin, which we'll get back to in a minute. Tosfos of Maseches Gittin, it says that if it's a chacham muflag, then you can spend any amount of money. a chacham muflag, there are these limitations do not apply. But even before that, just to quote you the Radvaz. The Radvaz has a beautiful tshuva in Chelek Aleph Simin Mem. You know, so the Radvaz has thousands of tshuvas. So early in the Radvaz. So he was asked about this halacha, about Ein Poden Yosef Mechlei Demehem. So he says, Kfar Nagu Kol Yisrael. You look throughout history, Klal Yisrael has paid exorbitant amounts to get Shvuyas out. A child or a Zakein, and people still spend exorbitant amounts. Says the Radvaz, that's the minhag of Klal Yisrael. On a Rowan, he says, you know why? He says, first of all, because they're not taking just Jewish prisoners. Look around. They're taking whoever they find on the road. So there's no reason of, oh, if you do this, they're going to take more. They're taking whoever they find on the road. So therefore, the minhag has become to redeem anybody for even more than they're worth. V'hanach lehem liYisrael, sheheim gom lechesed, b'nei gom lechesed. And he can't fall Klal Yisrael. They're gom lechesed, and they just want to spend more money. What could you do? And even the Mishnah says, doesn't say, ein poden es ashroyim yosem mechdei shivuyan, el yosem mechdei demehen. Mashma demeyem haraga b'chola shvuyim. Even the non-Jewish shvuyim. Therefore he says, this is what people do. And he says, you want halachic reasons? He goes through four halachic reasons, you know, why we do this. Either because it happens to non-Jews also, or maybe there's a Talmud Chacham in the mix, or maybe, you know, if there's a katan there, and they're going to be maver the katan from Judaism. Various reasons, and he ends off, Hanach lehem Yisrael, v'yachziku b'midah kiven shem smechim b'sasim. They're happy to do this. Yesh lehem schar gadol for this. And after all, they're volunteering it. Bez is not forcing them to bring it. They're volunteering it. And therefore, it's not a problem. That's the sheet of the Radvaz related to this. Again, Rachmana l'Islan, this has come up l'maisa. Rabbi Bleich, in one of his Svarim, Contemporary Halachic Problems, of Volume 1, he has three pages on hijack victims, where he talks about that in the fall of 1970, when there was a number of hijacks before the Yom HaNoraim, and he speaks about the state of Israel's remaining steadfast in its resolve not to free thousands of imprisoned terrorists in exchange for the hostages. And the question was, you know, the halakha discussion then was, were they correct in their stance? They obviously didn't ask a shayla, they weren't, but this was their stance. So the question is, were they correct? So he quotes many achronim who say, yes, they were correct, for various reasons. Because here, besides the issue of Yosef Mechdei Demehen, the issue is that one or a few Jewish lives, so what are you doing? You're freeing 1,000 terrorists who are going to kill more Jews, who are going to plan to do more terrorist attacks. So you're saving some, but you're putting others in danger. So that's another thing, another idea that has to be weighted. Again, this is very, very serious issues. How much, Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu should free all of the hostages b'zman hazeh. You know, we daven for that every day. But again, the question is, how much does the Jewish nation, does the Israeli government, halachically, if it was a halachic government, how much would they have to, free, which they demand, the Arabs demand all of these hostages free, halachically, what is allowed? So he says, since release of the terrorists would have undermined law and order in Israel, the government, in Rabbi Gershuni's opinion, one of the Gedolim, was justified in refusing to release captured terrorists, despite the fact that the lives of innocent people were endangered thereby. So again, this is a very serious issue, but it relates to these sugyas. One other issue came up related. Rav Shechter speaks about this in one of his Svarim in Ikvei Atzon and Simon Lamed Beis, where he talks about that Medinas Yisrael Ka'esi Mimatzav Shal Mechama. He does an article about what is called wartime. You have to have like tanks and bombs falling, or you know, even in a case where there are rockets and terrorist attacks, that is also halachically Shas Mechama. There are different halachas for Shas Mechama. That's the context here. So there he talks about that at the same time period, when the terrorists took a plane, and Rav Huttner, famous story there, Rav Huttner was on one of the planes. V'yala az alev chever mi talmidav ha'ashirim, and a number of rich talmidim from Chaim Berlin got together millions of dollars, and they were going to bring it to the American government to say, here, give this to the terrorists, and this is money to redeem. And where did they get this from? Based on the Tosfos Hagitin. By a chacham muflag, you're allowed to redeem yoser michdei demayim, even if it's millions and millions of dollars. The rules don't apply. So he quotes that they brought this, they went to a number of rabbanim who said they should do this, and then he says, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky nixed it. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said no. He says, all of these halachas about, yes, maybe Chacham Muflag is different, that's only by Shas Shalom. By Shas Shalom, so then you could say that you could redeem Yosef and the man for Chacham Muflag for exceptions, but by Shas Mochama, where your dollars are going to go directly to do more terrorist attacks and to do more terrible things against Klal Yisrael, so then the halachas don't apply. And Rabbi Yaakov felt that it was Shas Milchama then. It wasn't a war time. Right? What war were they? It was in 1970? Yeah. Since 1948, Rahman al-Aslan, there's been wars and non-wars, but really it's been Shas Milchama. So really it's been Shas Milchama halachically, and therefore, there is no, you're not allowed to do this. And therefore, he nixed the plan of giving this, and Baruch Hashem, Refutner was later free. But that is, that's what Rav Shechter quotes from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetz. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara, two dots. Laksa chayav l'raposa. The Mishnah said that if she gets sick, you have a chayiv to pay for her medical bills. Taner about an aman, and he does, but if the yisomim is yichar refua, what if the husband dies? So do the yisomim have to take care, do the orphans have to take care of the mother in terms of refua? Yes. Harigi mizonos, it's like mizonos, just like they have to feed her. So too, refua, like we said yesterday, is part of mizonos. Rav Shmuel Gamliel, Omer, Rav Shmuel Gamliel says it depends. Refua sheyeshlag, it depends, refua sheyeshlag kitzvah, a refua that has a definite amount. So that's unlike mizonos. Mizonos is every day. It's infinite. So refua that has a definite amount, so that the orphans don't have to give. Nisrapes miksubah, so that she has to take out of her ksuba money. She'ema kitzvah, but the eima kitzvah, if they don't have a definite amount, so how are you going to mizonos? So then it's like mizonos, and therefore the orphans have to provide it. Amr of Yochanan, also our cousin's dam, Eretz Yisrael, kerefua she'en la kitzvah. Hagazin's dam, bloodletting in Eretz Yisrael, was so common, so that it was like a refua she'en la kitzvah, they had to pay for it, because it was included in Mizonos. Kravi, the Rabbi Yochanan, havi lehu itas abba, the relatives of Rabbi Yochanan had a stepmother, to have a sricha refua kol yoma, they had their father's wife, she needed refua every day. Every day she had a lot of doctor's bills. Also came to Rabbi Yochanan, they came in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and they say, Rabbi Yochanan, our bank accounts are being depleted. Is there any way that she could get her money from her own ksuba? So Amalui said to them, I have an idea. Izila kutsule midila rofe, go to the doctor, get a specific finite bill daily, so then it'll turn into a refuah sheyeshlo kitzva, and then she'll have to take it out from her own ksuba, not from the mizonos. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, that's a great idea, but then Rabbi Yochanan says to himself, I just violated the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. We made ourselves like the Orche Hadayonim. We'll translate that something illegal, halachically, in the court of law. Orche Hadayonim, we'll define that in a minute. So Meikar Maisavar, the Basav Maisavar. What do you think originally? How did he change his mind? The Meikar Maisavar, Masar Chalot Esalim. Originally he said, he thought, you can't go away from your relatives. You got to help out your relatives. Well, the Basav Savar, Adam Chashav Shaini. And at the end he failed. No, I'm an Adam Chashav. I have to take higher standards. Sharm Sian of Alacha here has a whole discussion. It's very hard to know when we say Adam Chashav Shaini and when not. Is it by any Chumrah, Adam Chashav Shaini? What if it's totally Mutter? No, he has a discussion. He quotes a number of sources. What are the limitations? Period. Okay, what is Arche Adayanim? Mishnah Pirkei Avos. You can't make yourself like Arche Adayanim. So Rashi here says, you cannot have, Rashi and Arche Adayanim, Ohev Echad Mibali Adinim Umatim Zechuyos Avadayin. You can't have somebody who says, who tainas for you in front of the judge, and makes your tainas seem nice and seem good and know how to taina properly. So what does Rashi seem to say? No lawyers! Lawyers are usher. So Rashi seems to say. What's an Arche Adayanim according to Rashi? According, this is in the Rishonim's world, Shvuas Dachlamet. That's where the action is in the sugya. The Rishonim, it's called Antler. Antler is a lawyer in the Rishonim. And there's a major machlokas Rishonim, are you allowed to have a lawyer? Because what's a lawyer? What do you mean? If I'm a Baal Din, I should have to testify in front of Beis Din. Who are you testifying for me? What are you doing? So the Ritva, you can look at the Rishonim there, I'll just give you one sheet. The Ritva Masechah Shavuos Daf Lamed discusses the Rishonim that hold the lawyers' antlers are problematic. Number one, because you're a Baal Din. V'yom d'shnei anashim v'shel avnei Hashem. A Baal Din has to talk to a formal problem, you have to talk directly to the judges. A. B. The other problem is, maybe there's a chashash sheker here, that you're going to, you're Arche Adayanim, what are you doing? You're going to try to couch the claims in a way that it's not really true. So this is a big discussion in the Rishonim. So many Rishonim say it's a problem to have an Antler. Other Rishonim, as our halacha is, other Rishonim say that there are Yesh Makom B'Hakel in the Aruch says this, and the Tosfos says it there, and Shavuos and the Rashba, who all hold that maybe you can appoint. Maybe it's a din of shlichus. Maybe it's not a problem of sheker because they're just saying the. Oh, you're right. If it was sheker, it would be sheker. But if they're saying the exact claims that the Baal Din would say, so then it's not a sheker. the Achronim seem to say in the poskim that even according to the Rishonim, they say it's no good, maybe they could be mochel. If both parties have lawyers, so then they're basically saying, okay, I'll try, or if somebody says, I'll be my own lawyer, they're basically being mochel. So the Chazon Ish writes in the Simen Dal and the Choshe Mishpat, so the Dayanim have to, if you go to a Bezdin, they have to know that they're being mochel. They can't be mochel without knowledge, says the Chazon Ish. Bizman Azel, Nagu, Ladun, Lo Loazim, Apia Morsha Shalahem, Dabli Kikibu Alehim. The nearest it's sarach sheyodiyam sheinam en adin. You got to tell them that this is not meikar adin. V'sheyikabu dimeinim ol yom inkan mechila. So they have to know that it's because they are being mochel. So that's how you get out of this problem. There are other rishonim. The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnah gives a different shot to Archei Adayanim. Archei Adayanim is not people who speak to judges. They're people who speak to you to tell you what to taina. If the judge says this, say this. If the judge says this, say that. That's also you can't like play judge. And therefore, you know, tell the party. So again, it's a balance of Archei Adayanim to what a lawyer does. You got to work out the details. But again, the Minhag HaOlam is even in the Beis Din to be Maker. Next, Lo Kasav La. Oh, we have a lot to do. Lo Kasav La Banin Dichrin Diev Lechimino Inan Yarsek Kasav Subas Efeser Achulkein Demachu On Chayishu Tnai Beis Din. If a person did not write the Tnai Ksuba called Ksubas Banin Dichrin, he still has to do it because it's a Tnai Ksuba. Again, what's Ksubas Banin Dichrin? A man has three wives. So the wife who's about to get married to the husband has a father. So the father's going to give her a dowry. So the father says to himself, you know what? I'm worried. What happens if I give my wife a big dowry and then she dies before her husband? So what's going to happen to the dowry? My son-in-law is going to get it. But then what's going to happen? He has a lot of wives. When he eventually dies, all of his wife's children are going to split up the yushra equally. So my dowry is not going to specifically go to my grandsons. They're going to go to all of my son-in-law's grandsons. So the chazal, so he didn't want to give a big dowry. Chazal made a takana. You know what? If the wife dies first, all the dowry that she brought into the marriage from her husband is only going to go to her sons. After the husband dies, it's going to go to her sons. You split up the Yerusha, as long as there's one penny to be Mekayim, the Din D'Oraisa of Yerusha. So after that, the dowry that she brings into the marriage will go to her sons. Even if she didn't write that, so then it's a Tanai Ksuba. Not only that, by the way, as the Gemara is going to say, but the 200 that she is supposed to get will specifically go to her sons. Next. The female children that you have from me will be able to be fed from my estate until they get married. After I die, that's also a Tanai Beis Din, Mizonos Bito. And even if he didn't write that, that is, he's chayiv in that. Also, a Tanai that you, the Almana, if I die, if the person says, if he dies, he will, the Almana will be able to get fed from his estate until she gets married again. That's also a Tanai Beis Din. That even if it's not recorded, he has to do. This is what Anshi Yushalayim used to write. Anshi Galil HaYikosvin, Anshi Yushalayim. Anshi Galil used to write this also, that until you get married, so you could get fed from my estate. Anshi Yehuda HaYikosvin, that he wrote a different Lashon. Anshi Yirtzu HaYarshan Litiyan L'chak Ksubaseh. You could get fed until the Yarshan want to give you your Ksuba. So Laficha Chimrosh HaYarshan Nosan L'Ksubaseh Uposhu Nosah. Different Minhagim. Does she get fed until she gets married? Or does she get fed until the Yarshan decide they'd rather pay her ksuba and not feed her anymore? Period. There's an important lumdis on Subas Ban and Dichrin, but we'll have to start with that B'Shem tomorrow. So come on time tomorrow. Amar Rabbi Yochanan B'Shem Rabbi Yochai, Rabbi Neimai is getting Subas Ban and Dichrin. Why did Chazal make this takana? So a person gives a lot of money to his daughter. Right? Because if not, as I mentioned, there's a chash that he's not going to, because he's worried if his daughter dies first, all the money's going to revert to the husband. Do we ever have a case where the Torah says it's a Yerusha? The son should get the money. The Rabbanim made it takana dafka to give a lot of stuff to a daughter? Isn't that against the concept of Yerusha? Says the Gemara, no, hanami daraisa. This is also daraisa. The Ritva quote points out that we're about to quote a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Daraisa sometimes means different Kabbalah, pasuk from Tanakh. No, there's also a pasuk that talks about alludes to the fact, at least, that he should give a lot to his daughter. The pasuk says, "Chuna shemolid ubanim ubanos, take wives and have children. Ukecholav nechanashim esbenosechem tunalashim, take sons for your daughters and take sons-in-law, take sons for your sons-in-law for your daughters and take sons daughters for your sons-in-law." I said it correctly. Take both. Take sons-in-law and daughters-in-law. Finally, I understand the pasuk that it says your sons you should help take daughters-in-law. That's in your control. Usually, the man is the one that like goes and runs after the daughter and asks the daughter to marry. Elabante mi kaimin biyade. But how does you have control to get a son-in-law? You have a daughter. So how do you have control? It's usually the men that are in control of the relationship. So hakamashalom, that's the chiddush. To know b'shev enichse v'deisav l'midi, k'echi t'kafsi aleva asu and asvila. If you give her a lot of money in the dowry, so that shows that's a way that you could be in control of who marries your daughter. We had kama, how much, what's the maximum that you're allowed to give in k'subas b'nei dichrin? Abayev rabbi debi shabayev ad l'isur nichse. Either even a tenth of your nechasim, you're allowed to give. The ema da'av leirus da'bal leirus, lo leirus. We just said that k'subas b'nei dichrin means that if the daughter dies first, right, if the wife dies first, so then her children would yarshin her k'suba. But we mentioned there's two aspects to that. Yarshin's the dowry and yarshin's her 200 zuz that she's supposed to get. So ask the Gemara, if the whole point has to do with the father, so shouldn't the k'subas b'nei dichrin only be related to the father's stuff and not the husband's stuff? So the avleir, so only her father's dowry she should inherit. Why does the takana also include the husband's? No. If the father didn't think that the husband was also contributing to something specific to his grandsons, so then he wouldn't give. Because Rav Shimon Kubetza says he's still worried. Maybe my daughter's not going to have any sons. Maybe, he's only going to have daughters. Or the Ema, says the Gemara, the Ema hecha, the cause of Av, lift of Baal, Hema, the cause of Av, lo lift of Baal. Maybe only where the father had written a dowry, that's when these children, Ksubas Banu Dechrin, should include the husband's 200. But if the father didn't, maybe lo lift of Baal, then shouldn't include the 200. Lo plug Rabbanan, don't make any distinctions. Once they make the law of Ksubas Banu Dechrin, always the father's dowry and the husband's 200 go specifically to these children of this woman. So why do you only make it for the male children? Why not the female children? Why is Ksubas Banu Dichrin? Why not Nekevas also? Kanachla Shavir Rabbanan. No, this Din Rabbanan was patterned after Yerusha, and Yerusha is only maker of Din by sons. Basbin Abanas Terus. So what about if there's only daughters? If there's only daughters, then daughters inherit. So if the daughters amongst daughters, so why shouldn't there be a like Takana? Lo Plug Rabbanan. No, the Rabbanan don't make any distinctions. Daughters are not included. So why shouldn't it apply to metalzalin? Yesterday we had on Amid Beis that ksubas b'nei dichrin is only by karka, not by metalzalin. Kiksubas of Yerabanan. No, this is a tnai ksuba, which is like the ksuba, just like ksuba is only by karka. So the tnai ksuba is only by karka. Tidra mishabdi. So if it's like a ksuba, it should be torah from mishubadim, from property that the husband sold already. No, yarsutzan. It's like Yerusha, and Yerusha is not torah from mishubadim. So it's like it's in middle ground. It's like a ksuba, but it's also like Yerusha. Last line. Let's say that this ksubas b'nei dichrin should kick in even if there's no penny to split up equally. So the Gemara says no. But Malkam to come Yakar Nachladarai, so let's have Rabbanan. Rabbanan did not make this law in a case where the entire mitzvah Yerusha would be uprooted. Only if there's a way where it can be uprooted do we say can not be uprooted, do we say that there's ksubas b'nei dichrin. So tomorrow when we start off with a major machlokis gaonim, is there ksubas b'nei dichrin bizman hazeh? There are some that say no. And the big kasha is, what do you mean no? A takana drabanan can't just fall away. Even if the reason might not apply, how could you get rid of the takana drabanan of ksubas b'nei dichrin? So we start off with that tomorrow. Two types of takana drabanan. It's a beautiful piece from the Kohelas Yaakov, the Baal Mishkanas Yaakov. Okay, let's start tomorrow.